It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever.
Yeah. Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
There's a new sheriff in town and his name is Reggie Hammond.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soze. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Voice you just heard, Kobe Slagle.
Mm-hmm.
His Christmas card arrived in the mail this week.
Yep.
La Vie en Rose. Which apparently was...
Everywhere. Everywhere.
You were in Paris for how many days with Fair Sweet Bianca?
2.5.
And you heard La Vie en Rose like 100 times?
That's like... Here...
Now, it was Edith Piaf and Louis Armstrong, right? Maybe Eartha Kitt.
Mainly Edith Piaf.
Well, that's... Yeah.
That plays... That song plays there... Like Margaritaville plays in Panama City.
Did you feel like you were in a studio movie?
And, oh, man.
And the Americans come to Paris, and that's the atmosphere music?
It's just everywhere.
I think it's like when the Russians would hear Western artists always play Back in the USSR when they play. Yeah, we got it. Thanks. Can you play something else? Please. Wow. So anyway,
yep.
But also... We have old school intro for a couple of reasons. One, we are here at Film Sociology. We are pro Randy Moeller,
mm-hmm.
who is the voice of the Florida Panthers hockey. Is he still with the team? We should check on that.
I'll get on
this
that.
This was there's a certain sports show in Chicago that I listen to religiously, and I, of course, share the wisdom with Kobe. And it was through that show that I discovered Randy Moeller, who had the ability to scream when the Panthers would score a goal and then have some either catchphrase from a line of a TV show, a movie, or song lyrics. So, anyway, that was him screaming Eddie Murphy's line from 48 Hours.
Looking here.
Because this is Film Sociology, your home for Florida Panther announcer information.
Yeah.
Still?
Oh, hey.
Uh-oh. An update?
Randy Moeller moves to Panthers TV team.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, they have to show him going berserk on TV.
There you go.
That's cool. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Updated right here.
Thank you, Florida Sun Sentinel.
Your pledge dollars at work. Now, of course, now the music you're hearing, Freddy's Dead by Curtis Mayfield from the brilliant film Superfly. And I do want to give a shout-out to Asante Children's Theater. They are putting on a Superfly Christmas featuring a tribute to Curtis Mayfield.
That just sounds awesome.
It is. You can bring perishable food items to Gleaners for Gleaners.
Perishable non-food items.
God, I'm just loopy today, man. Anyway, this is happening tonight at 7:00 at the Howard L. Schrott Center for the Arts at Butler. And then happening tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the Madam Walker Theater.
Cool.
And please bring non-perishable food items, actual food items.
There you go.
And it'll help out Gleaners Food Bank. And anyway, I was talking with Keisha Dixon, who is the executive director, and was talking earlier with Enos Adams, who is the director of this. I will say the getting the postcard for this from Deborah. If you know the poster to the film Superfly, there's a great shot of the car and then Ron O'Neill in the suit with the matching long coat with the hat.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of did their own version of it. And Ron O'Neill's character Priest has a nice little wrapped Christmas gift in his hand. I think it's okay for – I don't know what the art copyright laws are, but anyway – As I found out, it is a mixture of Christmas music mixed in with songs by Curtis Mayfield. Because when I saw a Superfly...
What's not to love?
Exactly, right? I mean, no kidding. I mean, now, when I first heard A Superfly Christmas, I don't know if you want any gifts from Ron O'Neill's character Priest in Superfly. I'm just saying, you know, if you know what his character does in the film for a living, you're not getting little crucifix necklaces that are actually spoons or that great Ron O'Neill hair. But anyways, no, it's actually a mixture of Christmas songs and a couple of skits, one comedic, one serious, about family, about the holidays, and it's all intertwined in with the music of Curtis Mayfield, not just from the film Superfly, although that's pretty sweet. But anyway, that's happening this weekend if you don't have plans. Tonight, 7 o'clock at the Howard L. Schrott Center for the Arts. That's, of course, 610 West 46th Street. On the campus of Butler University. Mm-hmm. That's where Butler basketball happens.
Yep.
Not in the Center for the Arts. And then, of course, Saturday night, 7 o'clock at the Madam Walker Theater, 617 Indiana Avenue. And if you bring a non-perishable food item, an actual food item, it'll help out Gleaner's Food Bank.
Very cool.
Also, while we're in the shameless plugging, this is the shameless plugging portion of Film Sociology, December 11th, a week from today, at the Centerville Christian Church. It's in Centerville, Indiana. Less than an hour's drive, I know. happening at 5:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. next week is a charity production of A Christmas Carol, and it's going to help Hope House, which is a men's rehabilitation center and facility. And I'm bringing this up because yours truly is playing Ebenezer Scrooge. That's actually happening. So I have sacrificed half of my beard for this show. So I look less like a member of the Grateful Dead, although I still get that. I got that. I was at Meijer on Monday, and somebody had come up to me and said, "Oh, you're the Jerry Garcia guy from Hippie Fest," because there was a Hippie Fest in Richmond this past summer. It actually was me. But my usual response is when I'm told I look like Jerry Garcia, I still have all my fingertips, and I'm still breathing. So take that. Anyway. You have anything to plug, Kobe, while we're in shameless plug shameless plug Friday?
I do not.
Oh, come on. Really? Commissioner Slagle?
No. I have nothing to plug.
That's good. And what I wish I could have plugged? My memory of last night's game out of my head. My God. That just sums up Lions football as a whole, that game last night.
The last couple 6 seconds.
6 seconds. Well, not just that. I don't believe in curses and superstitions. I wish I had that much influence as a fan. But they were shut out by the time I entered the Slippery Noodle. By the time I came into the Slippery Noodle, they gave up 14 points in a minute. Minute and a half. To use the line from Albert King, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. That's my Lions world. All right. Opening in theaters today. We have a film. Kobe, I think we're going to need some audio for this.
Okay.
Notice the smooth, subtle setup.
Yeah, that's good.
New in theaters today is the latest joint from Spike Lee, and it's called Chi-Raq. And it stars Tiana Paris and a strong cast, Nick Cannon, Wesley Snipes, Angela Bassett, Jennifer Hudson, John Cusack, Samuel L. Jackson, not Yelly Screamy, Dave Chappelle, his first film appearance in a dozen years, as well as D.B. Sweeney, David Patrick Kelly, Steve Harris, Harry Lennox. And it is basically Spike Lee's version of the Greek comedy Lysistrata. He has moved it from the war in Greece to the south side of Chicago. Here's some audio.
This is an emergency. This is an emergency.
Homicides in Chicago, Illinois have surpassed the death toll of American Special Forces in Iraq.
Hey, it's all the meaties.
Welcome to Chi-Raq.
Chi-Raq, where we at, my city.
Land of pain, misery, and strife.
Everybody here got a man banging and slanging, fighting for the flag, risking that long zip with a cadaver bag.
All to the bang, bang.
Bang, bang.
It all started with a dog.
gorgeous Nubian sister.
What's up, Spinner?
They call her Lysistrata, a woman like no other.
You just try taking away their guns.
Okay, the dirty poppers. Because my gun go boom, I'll make sure a Trojan end up in the next.
All right. Well, what else do they love?
Repeat after me. I will deny all rights of access or entrance.
I will deny all rights of access or entrance.
Lysistrata had them all. Take a solemn oath.
Lock it up! Lock it up!
Stop the murder madness, or there would be no more Pope.
The situation's out of control, because I'm in front of an empty stripper pole.
Back. That's right. You get snubbed.
Say what?
Oh, snap!
We gonna make sure these fools put down these guns.
Police sign, air day. People dying, air day. Mama's crying, air day. Father's trying, air day. Trying to get my head straight. It's the city of Chirac, and get your bed made.
Do you want justice?
Please pray for my city. Too much hate in my city. Too many heartaches in my city. But I got faith in my city. It's Chirac and I love that. You can't take it away from my city. Some can't relate to my city. They die every day in my city, yeah.
It could be you. That's her.
Story of fact. Can't shoot so babies get whacked.
That is a Chirac. And y'all mad cause I don't call it Chicago. But I don't live in Chicago. Boy, I live in Chirac.
Peace.
This is an emergency.
There you go. It's funny. I'm teaching a theater appreciation class at Ivy Tech, and this week we actually got to the Greek and Roman plays, and I thought, what great timing! I wish I was that clever that it just happens that was the week I was going to study. We were going to study Greek and Roman theater history. Lysistrata, of course, is the as you heard in the trailer, the women go on a sex strike. And so the men will stop warring and hopefully sign a peace treaty. And I wondered how far Spike was going to go. Spike co-wrote the script. Of course, he produced and directed it. As far as how much ancient history was going to be incorporated into it, besides the fact that the lead is named Lysistrata. And much of the film's credit, much more than I thought it was going to be. I thought, well, it's not the first time that we've taken a Greek or a Roman play or Shakespeare, and we've taken the basic body of the plot and then made it into our own. You know, like 10 Things I Hate About You, like Clueless with Emma, you know, with Jane Austen's Emma, like She's the Man with 12th Night, 10 Things I Hate About You, of course, Taming of the Shrew. But much of the credit, the most of the dialogue is in rhyme. And so you kind of have, because it's Spike Lee, because it's the South Side of Chicago, there's a feeling of Greek theater mixed in with Dolomite, mixed in with Rudy Ray Moore. There's a couple of scenes that are not in rhyme or not in, and it was okay. The first time you hear it, I thought it would be a distraction. It turned out it wasn't. Spike Lee, if you've seen some of his films, most notably something like Malcolm X, and to a better degree, Do the Right Thing. Style wise, he can be all over the place, but it works in this. The song that you hear in the trailer, that opens the film with the lyrics on the screen. Spike Lee likes to deliver a message, and he likes to do it in a blunt way, in a not subtle way at all. But it works in this case. This is a problem. It's funny that we have an old Greek story, and it's still, but it's just as relevant today as it was when it first was written. There is a musical number. There's a couple of dance numbers as well. There's wall to wall. There's also a mixture of actors and real life people that Lee has talking to you. I mean, there are people literally speaking to the camera directly at you. And the tone at times can be up and down, but then again, the Greek plays, the Roman plays, Lysistrata is wall to wall penis jokes. And, you get a lot of those obviously in this film. So as far as the mishmash of tone and look and style. It works because that's what they did back in the Greek days. A lot of pretty good performances. Nick Cannon is a gangster, which I never thought. He's a rapper who happens to be one of the leaders of the gangs. Wesley Snipes, who I thought would be too old to be a gang member or a gang leader. But then again, that just kind of adds to the sadness of it. His character has one eye. He has an eye patch. And, of course, his character is Cyclops. Get it? Because it's a Greek.
Yeah.
I know. But yeah, you have Angela Bassett plays Lysistrata's neighbor, Jennifer Hudson, whose daughter was killed, and no witnesses, of course. There's a long funeral sequence that's preceded over by John Cusack, and I know there's going to be some people that wonder, what's John Cusack doing in this? Why is he playing a priest in the south side of Chicago? But he's also channeling Michael Flager, if you know who that is, the famous south side of Chicago preacher. Samuel L. Jackson is the Greek chorus. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about that. The Greek chorus is somebody who comes in, tells you who they are, and what is happening, and what's going to happen, and move the story. It's kind of reminiscent, of course, of Senior Love Daddy from Do the Right Thing, or the three old guys in the corner in Do the Right Thing.
Always do the right thing, Matt Sosie.
Thank you, Abdul. Abdul might even like this, I think, because of the historical context of it. David Patrick Kelly, who you know from The Warriors, among other things, plays a character named General King Kong. The ladies take over an armory. And there's a sequence with the general and Lysistrata that's about as ludicrous as it gets, but it fits because this is a Greek play and it's bawdy. It's supposed to be bawdy and raunchy and at times inappropriate, and it fits. I was really, really impressed with this. It is... Yes, Kobe, it is flawed, but it does not bother me, the flawlessness. Even the tracking shots that happen in Spike Lee's films, which it happens briefly in this one, it was not a distraction. I really enjoyed it. I think this is probably, it's the most enjoyable wall-to-wall, rattle your senses since Malcolm X that Spike Lee has done. So I really enjoyed it.
Cool.
Also in theaters today... And I would like some audio for this as well.
Okay.
See what I'm doing there. It's the latest film version of Shakespeare's Macbeth. Kobe, it's set in Scotland.
Nope. No.
And it stars Michael Fassbender and Marion Cotillard, David Thewis, and do we have the audio?
Yep.
Okay. Here's some audio from the latest film of Macbeth. This is not your father's Macbeth or your mother's Macbeth. If you have parents that are into Macbeth. Yeah, anyway, here's some audio.
All hail Macbeth that shall be king hereafter.
I feel now the future. Hail, King, that shall be.
My dearest love, Duncan comes here tonight.
Look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent under it.
All hail Macbeth that shall be king hereafter.
Scorpions is my mind.
What's done is done.
Life's but a walking shadow. Honor. Love. A friend. But in their stead, curses.
One of these days when we actually get some audio, we might want to do Kobe Slagle Watches Trailer Cam. Because you had some fun looks going as you were watching that.
I thought it was Amanda Seyfried.
No, not Amanda Seyfried. No, Marion Cotillard.
Yeah.
You know her from Inception. She played DiCaprio's wife in Inception.
Yes.
And she was in The Dark Knight Rises. And she won an
Oscar. Oh, yeah.
And she won an Oscar for playing Edith Piaf in the film La Vie en Rose.
Look at that. We've come full circle, and we're only 20 minutes into the show.
And or, as I think somebody that we know would like to say, Kobe, we should watch that.
No.
A French biopic on Edith Piaf?
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
She dies tragically. Anyway.
Surprise, surprise.
I know. Spoiler alert. okay. Well, yeah, here we go. Kobe, Shakespearean tragedy.
Nope.
Okay.
Had that one ready.
Yeah, I know you did. Oh, really? Let's start. It's set in Scotland?
Nope.
All right. Been interested. I really liked the performances from Fassbender and Cotillard. As we were watching this, yes, the Soucy family watched this. This is how we spend our quality time. Something that was impressive is that they talk about, they allude to at the beginning of the film that the Macbeths have lost a child. And that adds to the dynamic of Lady M talking her husband into killing to move up in power. There is that. There's also the fact that he is, I mean, there's a lot, especially the early scenes of Fassbender, with kind of the almost Braveheart-esque war paint on his face. And you get to see him really going to battle. And the fact that it is difficult at times for him to kill those that he has trusted and move his way up to the top. It's an interesting choice. And I haven't seen a film version of Macbeth since. I think the last Macbeth version I saw was on PBS with Patrick Stewart. The other part is this is not Shakespeare where it's set in a castle with guys in tights and a crown. This is out in the middle of nowhere. It could be the moors, so stay off the moors. But yeah, a lot of tents. And I think the isolation, the fact that they're in small tents as opposed to giant castle rooms in a castle, adds to the suspense of it. The witches show up not as long as you want, but their presence is there. It's a dirty, grungy Scottish play.
Looks like it.
It is, and really two solid performances from the leads, and yeah, this is the date play if you're into Shakespeare.
If you're into Shakespeare,
now that was a good movie.
I thought so. So there is that. All right, Kobe.
Yep.
What is happening at your alma mater?
Tonight, Friday, December 4th, Pather Panchali.
Gesundheit.
From 1955.
Uh-huh.
Saturday, December 5th, in the Sinatra at 100 series.
Wow, that's
From
still
Here
going.
To Eternity and The House I Live In.
Have you ever seen From Here to Eternity?
I have not.
You have not. If anything, you've seen a famous image. It's Burt Lancaster and Deborah Carr kissing on the beach when the water is rolling over them.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm surprised somebody in your house doesn't have a poster of that. Because if you don't have a black and white photo of Paris, you should have one of From Here to Eternity. It all comes back.
That's Saturday at 3, yep. IU Cinema. Saturday at 7, Aparajito,
uh-huh.
The Unvanquished from 1956. And then Sunday, December 6th, The Agony and the Ecstasy from 1965. That's at 3 o'clock. And National Theater Live at 6:30 with Hamlet.
Yeah, actually, Sunday at 11 a.m. at Keystone Landmark, at Landmark Keystone Arts, they are showing the Benedict Cumberbatch as Hamlet at 11 a.m. The Soucies will be there.
I think that's what this is.
Yes, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. So if you're into Benedict Cumberbatch and or Hamlet and you're not seeing Macbeth, you could see this.
There you go.
It's set in Denmark.
No. No.
Okay. All right, what do we have heading south?
The drive-in's still open.
Man, really?
It is.
It's chilly out. Know what? That's a special. You're a special movie fan if you're going to the drive-in in December. They must have a heating system of some kind. One would hope.
Don't know. Maybe.
We'll have to ask. That's cool. Great. What's going on at the drive-in in December?
This weekend at the Skyline, Good Dinosaur.
Uh-huh.
Followed by A Christmas Story.
Okay, sure.
Followed by, from 1968...
Black Christmas.
The Night Before Christmas.
Oh, okay. Which one?
The Norman LaBeouf Choir, Olan Sewell, Barbara Eiler.
What year?
1968.
Oh, this is the televised special. Is this the one with the mice? Yeah. Rankin and Bass? Well, you know what? We'll check during the break.
Yeah.
We'll check during the break. That would be intriguing that you could do that on a big screen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got?
Looking ahead, yep. Next week, Thursday, December 10th, at the IMA, B-Movie Bingo.
Oh, boy.
Samurai Cop.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Do you know Samurai Cop?
I know of it. I have not seen it. But that would be a fun evening, I bet.
And then,
especially if we're playing bingo.
At the Art Craft Theater in Franklin this weekend, 4th, 5th, and 6th, Christmas Story.
If you're into that.
There you go.
I know. Or you could watch it 24 hours a day on TNT or whatever cable channel has that going. That's okay. White Christmas coming up? Or is
White
that
Christmas
happened?
Is next week, 11, 12, and 13.
Bing Crosby.
Watch that this week.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, right?
Yep.
Yep. Now, have you seen it before?
Yeah.
You guys watch it every year,
yeah.
Don't you?
Mm-hmm.
It's a Slagle tradition. You put antlers on Frank.
He didn't have it.
No.
Nope.
I don't want to. We know how cats talk.
We haven't got him in his Christmas sweater yet either.
Really? He has a Christmas sweater?
Well, not really. It's an Argyle sweater, but we put it on him at Christmas because it's cold.
Does he complain? Does he shiver?
You know, a couple years ago, he wore that thing for like 3 or 4 days straight, and then ever since, can't get him in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You haven't gotten him like a Colts ugly sweater?
No. I have one.
Do you have the Colts ugly sweater?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Of course.
You know what the ugly sweater for a Lions is? A regular sweater.
That was good.
Yeah, because I can't punch myself in the head for 3 hours every Sunday. All right. You know what? We're going to take a short break. We'll check up on the night before Christmas info.
Yeah.
And then got an article from The Onion. We have a title on DVD and Blu-ray worth checking out. And some other nonsense. Oh, and Superfly. This goes out to Asante Children's Theater. That's happening tonight and tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Tonight at the Schrott Center for the Arts, tomorrow night at the Madam Walker Theater. We'll be right back. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. Oh,
shown, cause his hustle was wrong. His mind was his own, but the man lived alone. Ooh, Superfly. You're gonna make your fortune by and by. But if you lose, don't ask no questions why. The only game you know is do or die. The game he plays for keeps. Hustling times in ghetto streets.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs.
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Socey, hanging out with Kobe Slagle. And we have deceived you, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to get to the DVD and Blu-ray reviews just yet because we have company in studio.
Ooh.
They heard us talking about them, and now they're here. From Asante's Children's Theater, we have Executive Director Keisha Dixon. Hello, Keisha.
Hey.
And Enos Adams, who is the director of A Superfly Christmas. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. First off, image artwork of the year with this. We were discussing this. For those of you, to recap, it is a reimaging of the Superfly poster, and Ron O'Neill's character Priest with matching long coat and hat,
yes,
but with a Christmas gift.
Yes.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you've seen Superfly, no, not those gifts from Priest. We assure you, it is not. You're not getting a crucifix. That's also something else,
mm-hmm,
or Ron O'Neill's great hair. Tell us a little bit about the production.
Well, first, I want to give a shout out to the graphic design artist, Kun Tron. He freestyles his, mm-hmm, artwork for us, and he really nailed it. I thought,
yes,
when I saw him, I said, "Oh, what is he saying? You want a gift? Huh, can I talk to you, young lady?" But this is an exciting production for us this time of year. And it's so funny that people would say, Superfly and Christmas in the same breath. How does that work?
Carefully.
Extremely.
In the timing. So.
Yes, yes, yes.
But as you were talking, you and I were talking earlier, it's actually a mixture of these, of Superfly,
mm-hmm,
Curtis, and of course of the holiday season.
That's right, because it is a tribute to Curtis Mayfield, to the legacy, the life, the music of Curtis Mayfield. And it is very, very, we have our Christmas songs and we jazz them up, and we also infuse the influence of Curtis Mayfield throughout the entire piece. So it is a phenomenal work and very excited.
So is it a variety factor? Is it just wall-to-wall music?
It's a variety factor. It is a variety factor. When we first were talking about the concept, that was Ms. Deborah Asante and I, she wanted to do like an old school variety show.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the initial concept that we came, and she wanted to infuse skits and she wanted to infuse dance and stepping. So we said, let's come together, let's put it all in there.
So we have our prepsters, the younger kids. They're doing a piece on Kwanzaa,
yes,
mm-hmm, as well, and that's singing and dance for them. So, and we have lots of singing, lots of skits. And I think it would be an enjoyable opportunity for families to come out and also support us with food items.
That's right.
We're packing the pantry for Gleaners, mm-hmm, too. So,
anyway, it's happening tonight at the Schrott Center for the Arts at 7 o'clock, and then tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Madam Walker Theater.
Yes.
So you can call 652-3727. Or go to Asante Children's Theater, that's re.org,
mm-hmm,
for ticket information. Now, for those, what are some of the Curtis songs that are going to be in the production?
Definitely Superfly.
Well, one would hope.
That's one of the classics.
Do we have it over right there, Cobe?
Yeah.
I guess we're playing requests.
Little Child Running Wild.
Little Child. Well, that's not. We don't have that one in there. That is one of
I'm
my
so
favorites.
Proud.
We're going to start hitting you with
so
the obscure
proud
titles.
I'm so proud.
Yes.
Pusher, mm-hmm. Pusher Man.
Pusher Man's, mm-hmm, in it.
Yes.
Freddy's Dead.
Yes.
That's what I say. It.
What about the instrumental Junkie Chase?
And somebody leaps over a fence.
We listened to it in our. We had listening parties with the kids, actually, in the cast of the show, and we listened to all of these songs just infused and talking about what you're feeling, what this is all about, what your favorite song. So they actually did research and came back with their favorite song. So we listened to them all.
Keisha, you and, well, I'm considerably older than you are, dear. But
thank you.
You're welcome. It's called acting. I was going to say, how big is the cast and crew, and how much did they know of Curtis before starting this? I'm going to get really old.
Oh, well, look, when Miss Asante, who, by the way, is in Ghana.
Who's listening online at WFYI.org. Hi, Deborah.
Yes, yes.
Bring back some coffee.
I know. But when we came up with this and started talking about Curtis Mayfield, I was in the room when she mentioned to the kids, we're going to do a tribute to Curtis Mayfield.
Tumbleweeds.
Yes, just flat looks. They're like, who? What? Knew nothing about it. Nothing. And now they're Curtis Mayfield, you know,
aficionados.
Babies. Yes, yes. And one girl... that you have to come and hear her piece. She did her research and then wrote a poem about how this whole process has influenced her and how Curtis Mayfield has influenced her. And it is so power-packed, so power-packed. And she's a young 17-year-old.
17.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see her performance of it, it's amazing.
Wow. And did you guys watch clips of Superfly?
With no.
I said clips.
With the kids.
Certain clips. That's a tough call.
We couldn't go there.
That's a tough call.
But what has happened is...
They run home to mom and dad. Hey, can we
watch
that?
Well, the thing is they do run home to mom and dad. And the parents, they knew who we were going to be dealing with. But it wasn't just about Superfly.
No.
But it was also about the full range of work that Curtis did and his story, his life story. So... it was important that they knew his history and could recognize him and honor him as for what he has contributed to where we are now musically.
Mm-hmm.
Because his music, like so many other legends, gets sampled all the time. And then our children don't know from whence it came.
Did I say that? No, you did. I have become the guy who tells the young kids where that groove came from.
Okay.
You know, when we were watching Straight Outta Compton, that's Woman to Woman by Joe Cocker. Yeah. Or watching the Beastie, that's Root Down by Jimmy Smith.
Yes.
And yeah, that's Freddy's Dead by Curtis Mayfield.
Uh-huh. You have to do that because otherwise they're thinking the wrong thing.
Right.
Uh-huh. They're misled.
Oh, jeez. So yeah, that is happening. How big a cast do you have?
Well, we have 40 prepsters, we have 13 in academy members, and we have 6 adults. Do the math.
Whew.
Just imagine all those bodies on stage.
Well, you can see it. You just don't have to work with it.
Yes.
So, and Enos had to step out for a little bit, but how was he working? How was he as far as handling a cast that big?
Well, he did very well. You must understand his story. Enos came through the Asante Children's Theater when he was 8 years old.
Oh,
that's when he started.
Man.
And so he's been under Deborah's guidance.
Mm-hmm.
For quite some time. When he first came to the program, so shy, would not speak hardly at all, not above a whisper. And now he has a presence on stage that is just, you have to witness it in true life. But for him as an alum of our program to be able to step up to the plate and take over a directorial role, that is significant for us. And it's making history for our organization. And I might throw in a shameless plug.
No.
Yes.
It's Kobe, it's Shameless Plug Friday, right?
Continuing.
Yeah, continue. We already started. But go ahead, please.
Jeffrey Page, another ACT alum, is going to be directing a tribute to Stevie Wonder called Genius in June.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Yes, says the guy who saw him in concert.
Did you? Didn't call me for that?
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Slagle might have something to say about that.
Oh, she doesn't know?
Can we tell that? Can we tell the story? How you found out about the gift?
Oh, yes.
This was so sweet. But we'll get back to Curtis Mayfield, but this was so... We love Fair Sweet Bianca.
All right.
She is a really good sport, having to be semi-married to this show. But this cracked me up. Go ahead, Cobe.
Okay. I got your birthday present.
That's a quote, dear.
Okay. I got your birthday present.
Okay.
Okay? Do you want to know what it is? No. Surprise me. Okay. Well, I can't surprise you because it's a thing that we're going to. Oh, well, just tell me like the week that we're going to do it. Okay. It's like 4 weeks away at this point. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just tell me the week that we're going to do it and I'll be surprised. Okay. Later. How about I give you a clue once a week, each week leading up to the thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Starting next week. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A couple hours later. Okay. Here's your first clue. Black Cats, the number 13, or Friday the 13th, Broken Mirrors, and she pauses, and I said, and walking under a ladder. We're going to see Stevie Wonder, aren't we? How did you get that? Because you just mentioned superstitions. Keep in mind, the clues will be vague.
Oh.
So then we started going through Stevie's entire catalog. So we were going,
here's your clue.
Venus, Mars, Earth, toe tips. Hey, Kobe, I just called to say, here's your next clue. I think that's very sweet. It's also
very thoughtful.
But you're also trying to outsmart a music nerd. So mm-hmm. that's not a good chance.
Maybe she just gave one too many.
I think she started with Black Cats and then she said Friday the 13th. I was like, okay, I think I know where this is going. And then she continued on.
You know what? Clues are in need of clues today.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. Mm.
See, that's they've been married. They're still newlyweds. It's very cool.
Isn't this clue lovely?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
a piece of literature that speaks. We could do vague Stevie Wonder trivia clues all day long.
My goodness. So does that mean that you're going to be coming to see Genius?
Oh, definitely.
You have to.
Excellent.
I think so.
Excellent.
This, you know what? This clue is on your mind. See, in my house, it's Lynn and Emma finally said, look, we're not getting you movies and music because we're not going to go down to the library and find out what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have time for that. Nobody's got time for that. So,
wow.
Wow. Mm-hmm. There's a place in the clue. All right. So, that's fun. I got a couple of items I want to share since we're in good company. Of course, from one of our favorite news sources.
Oh, yes.
The Onion. Mm-hmm. The article reads, with really bad juxtaposed photo, Brad Pitt scampers away from script after detecting musk of Chris Pine on pages.
In other news,
Dateline Los Angeles. Hollywood leading man Brad Pitt hissed and skittered away into the safety of the woods surrounding his house Friday after reading a screenplay from his agent and detecting the musk of fellow actor Chris Pine on its pages, numerous sources reported. Witnesses confirmed that upon receiving the 158-page draft of a Civil War drama during a meeting at his home, Pitt began furiously sniffing up and down the binding and back cover to search of any scent markings, eventually detecting Pine's pheromones while flipping through its second scene. After his eyes widened and his ears pricked back, the 51-year-old actor reportedly bolted away from the script, exiting through a back door at full speed and disappearing into the underbrush. Those present said that an exhaustive search, an assistant with a flashlight found the whimpering Golden Globe winner hiding under a neighbor's porch covered in dirt and shrinking back from anyone who attempted to approach him. That's just ridiculous. So,
A bad response to new producer Angelina Jolie Pitt. Perhaps.
Yeah, I saw I saw that. I got a screener for that as well. Checking in to see if Emma wants it. Emma is pro Brad Pitt. So
he's only 51.
He's only 51.
Wow.
He looks.
I thought he's 51.
I know. 51 should always look so good. That's what I get to look forward to in a few years. But we'll see if she's interested in that. But there's also one. It's not The Big Score, where it's Brad Pitt, Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. You should check on that.
Oh.
It's not The Big Score. That's a Fred Williamson movie.
Could
you check on that?
Yep, I'm on it.
Now it's the internet searching portion of the show.
Did you say Amy came out?
Oh, Amy
The Big Short.
The Big Short. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Christian Bale, Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, Brad Pitt.
That's right. Yeah, Emma's looking forward to that. That's a guy fest.
Sounds promising.
It does. Yes, actually, since we played the intro for the DVDs, 20 minutes ago? new on DVD and Blu-ray this week, and this is one that it's right now in my books, the top documentary, one of the top documentaries, the other one being What Happened, Miss Simone. But this is a documentary, Amy, about Amy Winehouse. And through cell phone cameras and
a lot of cell phone camera footage,
but
early cell phone camera footage.
Yeah, it is a documentary biography, but from within. I mean, this is all from like I said, camera phones, footage that is not your usual archival news source. One of the things that I remember Ed Johnson not raving, because I think Ed was the first one to see it and then started raving about it to everybody else, was besides the reminder of what a powerful singer she was, what a powerful performer she was, and really what an insecure young woman she was at the same time, being overwhelmed by fame and life choices.
Mm-hmm.
But the one aspect of it that will always be remembered with this film, and I think this is why it's in the running for one of the top documentaries of the year, is you hear her stories about relationships with her family, with the boyfriends, with the management. And when she is performing, you get to see the lyrics on screen.
Right. Yeah, that was cool.
That's really – you did see this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so you really get to see directly from the source. You get to see how – and dad does not look good. Dad might be in the Joe Jackson picture when management. So, you know what? Not a good team picture to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the boyfriends and the first husband, all not necessarily the best either. But seeing what happened, what caused the inspiration for this song and that song. And, and of course, Rehab being the most obvious. But there are a slew of others.
Wow.
Yeah, I am hoping more people get to check this out and check out one of the great voices in the last couple of decades. And there has been a rise, of course, of I don't know if you call it new soul or neo soul, whether it's Sharon Jones or Adele, but Amy is definitely in that picture and it's a part of it. So I hope more people go to rent this and check this out.
Yeah, it was cool. Bianca really likes Amy Winehouse. I don't really like Amy Winehouse. I never really have, but definitely did enjoy the documentary. I didn't know much about her at all, but I think it shed a lot of light on things that Bianca didn't know about either.
Mm-hmm. I think
you don't have to be a fan to
appreciate
enjoy
the film.
Yeah,
very good.
And to appreciate her talent.
Yes. It's funny because I remember when she first came on the scene, and I think the look threw me. It was because it was not the traditional soul singer look. Mm-hmm. I'm a codgy old person, and I think we expect our soul singers to look like Betty LeVette or Curtis Mayfield to a degree, and the fact that she was not that.
Mm-hmm.
She had the voice and the ability, but it was a different look. It was an almost rebellious. Soul rebellion, I guess.
Did you say Lady Gaga like?
Obligatory Lady Gaga, Madonna did it 20 years earlier joke.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't even say that. But what it's interesting, what those two have in common, and it's probably my favorite, not so much with Amy, but more with Gaga, but both of them working with Tony Bennett.
Mm.
Yeah.
I felt that like a, yeah. I felt because the Lady Gaga special with Tony Bennett on PBS, where, and I felt like an old person. I was like, look, she's dressed normal and she's acting normal and she's singing stuff that I know and I like and get off my lawn and. Yeah, I was, man. It was really. There's no. She's not wearing a meat dress when singing with Tony Bennett. You know, she's not doing stuff that Madonna did in 1995.
And I mean, get off my lawn.
And get off my lawn. Yeah, I'm just. Ah, man. There's just some days I'm just never hip. But the, like the sequence with her recording with Bennett is really, really sweet.
Yeah, and that was in the, oh my God, that was like 4 or 5 years ago when Bennett did a his Duets 2 CD.
Correct.
And he had,
still duetting.
Yeah, that was with Amy Winehouse was on that, Lady Gaga was on that, Michael Bublé was on that.
Do you have this album?
Yeah.
I need to get this. Mm-hmm. You didn't get it from a coffee shop, dude.
I remember thinking then, because there was a PBS Pledge special around, and I remember seeing the Amy Winehouse part and the Lady Gaga parts of it then and thinking, oh, my God, this is she's more than what I thought.
Yes, exactly.
But then you get to see more of this in the Amy documentary.
I just sound more out of it when I say it. You're okay. You still have a two in your age. So anyway, that is out there. Go check that out. And so the other title that we'll probably be talking about at the end of the year is the comedy Mistress America from Noah Baumbach, which stars and is co-written by Greta Gerwig and Lola Kirk. This is they are almost siblings. Lola Kirk's their parents are getting married to each other. Lola's character is a freshman in college in New York City. She meets her soon-to-be stepsister who's 30 and seems like a woman of the town, played by Greta Gerwig. And it's a bonding moment between younger sibling figure and older sibling figure. And that turns into a slapstick comedy, especially when the Gerwig character wants to get a restaurant started in New York, and which takes into a different turn. And that even though you seem older and sophisticated and with it, as the film goes on, the Gerwig character really does not have her stuff together. And to see her physically and mentally falling apart in a comedic way is really fun to watch. And there are elements of screwball comedy, especially in the second half of the film, really crackling, really smart dialogue. I had said before, and we watched this at home, this is a film that I think Alicia Silverstone would have starred in 10 years ago and Drew Barrymore would have starred in 20 years ago, but Greta Gerwig got to do it. And it's, you know, she's done a number of Baumbach films, including Frances Ha and Greenberg. And I think this is her most enjoyable work. Lola Kirk, who I remember from Gone Girl, also bounces off her quite nicely. So anyway, those are two really solid titles. You got, ladies and gentlemen, you have four films, two in theater, two at the video store, not to mention a Superfly Christmas happening this weekend. You have no excuse that there's nothing to do.
Right.
You should go see something out there.
True that.
So Keisha, have you been able to watch anything during the holiday season? New, old, indifferent?
Has the holiday season come already?
Thanksgiving is over, dear. So yeah, we're knee deep in holiday stuff.
Gosh.
I know.
You know, when you have your nose to the grindstone, one tends to miss out on life.
Oh.
But I will be coming up for air after December the 11th.
Okay.
So you have some suggestions?
Well, I talked about Chirac.
Yes, you talked
and
about
I'm
Chirac.
Really,
and it's a good thing I know Google.
Well, and I would say it's at the Showplace 17 on the south side, right off of 465.
I can do the south side.
Okay.
Can they do me?
That's something we all ask, dear, in all sorts of ways. But this is one, of course, Kobe, can you check and see how many theaters in Indy is showing Chirac? I am concerned that this is going to get lost in the shuffle, and I think it's really important that...
Lost in the shuffle, that's light. Buried.
Fine,
like
buried.
It.
Yes, there is a distinct possibility that because we live in an opening weekend society where you have to see it opening weekend to make money for it to continue, you got... And I think that's part of the show is we're hoping to train people that so you can't always say... Oh, I'll get to it. Oh, I'll see it next week. If it doesn't open strongly, then it becomes the 10:30 p.m. or just 10:30 a.m. screening on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then it's gone. So, you know, I guess we live in a must-see-it opening weekend. Go see Chirac opening weekend. I'm telling you. It's the amount of, for me, the amount of how close he keeps the story to the Greek comedy is really impressive, and really solid performances across the board.
Well, I'm excited about it.
Yep.
It seems like this would be a Keystone Arts.
I thought it would, too.
I see Landmark Theaters and AMC.
AMC 17.
And that's, is that it?
That's downtown.
Correct.
Landmark Glendale.
Ah,
Studio
okay.
Movie Grill and AMC Showplace at Washington Square.
Oh, I could have had dinner and a movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so four places. Okay. Well,
okay.
Get out to those. Get out to those and see this.
Mm-hmm.
And style-wise.
You got me.
I think you were interested in this before I saw it, before I talked about it. But I would say from a technical standpoint, it is, Spike Lee can be at times, of course, all over the place.
Yes.
And it follows in that tradition. But then again, because it's a Greek comedy, because it is a play, it's based on a play about a sex strike, there is a lot of lowbrow humor and the waves of energy. I mean, there's some ridiculous scenes in this, but it justifies it because it's because of the Greek history. But I still think it's his most satisfying film for me since Malcolm X.
So I need to hang out with you more often.
I'm right here, dear, every Friday at 5.
My goodness. I need to hang out with you.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Okay. Kobe, have you seen anything? You're still on your... Kobe has an ongoing saga of trying to show his lovely bride our favorite Quentin Tarantino film, Jackie Brown.
Yes.
Whoa.
And
whoa.
And by the way, Tiana Paris in Chi-Rock has a little bit of coffee to her. There's an opening scene where she's walking a lot, Kobe. Not quite as much as the airport in Jackie Brown. But darn close and really fun.
Saw the Hunger Games Part 2.
Mockingjay?
Yep.
You okay? You ready to move on?
Yeah, kind of, a little bit. Bianca was sad that it's over.
What are we going to watch next?
Quote, what do we watch now? Well,
movies opening every week.
We got Jackie Brown at home.
No, I got to be in the mood.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, you walk 5 blocks and then you have an action sequence. It's a Dungeons & Dragons film.
Walk, crazy thing happens. Walk, crazy thing happens and you lose a member of your crew. Walk, But wrapped up nicely. Could have been a 3-hour deal with part one.
I agree.
Tighter. Yeah.
4 endings, not as many as Tolkien, so there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But looking forward to Star Wars, though.
Yeah, that is opening the 18th. All right, we got a couple of minutes. I found the series of memes. It's kind of entertaining. I think I'll share some when I get more of them. But stories of an ex-cinema worker. And it's an empty theater with, of course, text on it. But see, if you've ever worked in the theater community, the multiplex community, you might understand. Woman orders at least one of every item at the candy bar, throws all the drinks, popcorn, and confectionery at me when I tell her it's over $100.
That happened to you?
I never worked at a movie theater.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, Chris Lloyd did. I'd love to get Chris in. He'll tell some old horror stories of working down in Florida. Catch two people going at it in an empty cinema. I go up to them and tell them to stop, look me straight in the eyes, and keep going. Cinema smells like Asian food. Check to see if someone brought outside food in. Guy brought a portable stove and is cooking stir fry mid-movie.
Oh, my goodness.
Go into cinema during the credits to find kids running up and down the platform where the screen is. One kid falls through, ripping whole screen in two. The parents are surprised that they've had to pay for the damages because, quote, you can't blame me for what my child did, unquote.
These are real occurrences?
I don't know, but they're entertaining, and I read them on the show. So
it happened.
It's from an Imgur.com section, stories of an ex-cinema worker. Those are some of the ones I could read on the air. I think I might print out some more and share those here in the holiday season. because even if there, it has that ring, it's kind of like Greatest Freakout Ever. It may or may not be true, but yeah. We've seen these folks. Although I have not seen somebody try to bring a stir fry in.
No.
The actual kitchen gear, no, I have not done that. That's pretty brave.
Guy behind us, Hunger Games last week, was snoring.
Wow.
Really?
Loud snores.
Sucking all the wind out of the room, all the air out of the room.
And then whoever was sitting next to him, like, nudged him and,
How do you spell?
He's Jim Tomsula. I wasn't asleep. I wasn't asleep.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, you can check out Superfly Christmas tonight at the Schrott Center for the Arts at 7 o'clock and at the Madam Walker Theater tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. There's also, if you bring non-perishable food items for Gleaners Food Bank. Ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Some of the greatest people.
Oh, my God.
I got Curtis Mayfield going here. I can't.
Ah, very good. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Go see a Superfly Christmas. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point at WFYI.org.
We go. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.
All right.